Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. The first time that I ever went skiing, I was in high school, and I did the smart thing, sort of. I swallowed my pride and went over to the bunny hill where the guy was instructing the little kids and joined them to learn actually how to ski before I hurt myself. It really wasn't even much of a bunny hill that we were on. It was almost flat, at least it seemed that way to me. And the instructor told us how to ski, gave us instructions, and then he told us that we were supposed to ski in between the poles, back and forth in between the poles. And when we could make it through the poles without falling down, we would be ready for the bigger hills. I tried a couple times and didn't make it through. Got a little annoyed and did the thing that most teenagers do when they are bored with a task and can't get it right. Blame the teacher, right? Oh, this hill is too short, or it's too not fast enough. How am I supposed to ski between the things? I'm not even going. There's no gravity to pull me down, I told the guy. So I better go try the bigger hills. Then I'll learn how to do it on the bigger hills. I need more of a challenge in order to grow. The church at Corinth had a problem. They had a problem which is, or they thought they had a problem anyway, which is a problem that a lot of churches at some point think they have. We're not growing, they said. You're not giving us enough of a challenge. You're not feeding us with the good stuff. We need deeper theology. And so, just like most other churches, when they feel things aren't going right, when they feel that they aren't growing, what did the church at Corinth do? Blame the pastor. It's your fault, Paul. You're only giving us milk. You're keeping us on the bunny hill too long. We're ready for the double diamond hill of death. Let us go at it. But, says Paul in our text, how can you possibly tell me you are ready for deeper teaching, for real meat, for mature teaching, when you can't even do something so simple as to be united in faith and in purpose? When you can't even stop arguing for 2 seconds like little children? How can you tell me you're ready for real meat? If you can't keep your skis from crossing, if you can't keep them united and working together, you're not ready for the bigger hill. So says Paul, if you can't stay united and working together, you're acting like children. And you need milk, not the real food. They wanted to grow.
The church at Corinth was used to deep philosophical instruction, and they wanted something they thought was meaty. Very often we want to grow as well, or at least feel like we're growing. And so Paul addresses this question in our text. How to grow? How to grow? The first thing that Paul shows us, if we want to get off the bunny hill and ski as mature Christians, we have to understand that growth is always into Christ. This is a mistake that a lot of Christians make. Many Christians think that the cross of Christ, the stories of his miracles, the parables, they say, well, that's Sunday school stuff. That's stuff we learned when we were little kids. We need something different. We need something meatier now. And so they make the mistake of thinking that the stories of Christ are for kids and the law. How to live a better life, how to do more good works, how to be a better Christian. That is what makes us mature Christians. Paul shows us in our text that the opposite is true. He shows us that the law and the how-tos and the stop quibbling is for children. That the stories of Christ and his wonderful works and digging into his miracles, that is meat and solid food. This is exactly the mistake that so many churches make. The Anabaptists are a great example, you know, the Amish, the Mennonites. They think that the more that they do, the more laws they have, the more rules they have, and the better they follow them, the greater they are, the more mature they are in their Christian faith. This is exactly the philosophy that the Jews had at Jesus' day too, right? Look at us. We have all these rules, and we're so good at following all these rules that we've come up with to be a better Christian. And that's exactly the attitude of the Corinthians in our text. More rules, more how-to. This is what makes us better Christians. But the result is bickering and fighting. Just exactly as Paul himself predicted in Titus chapter 3, verse 9, what does he say? He says, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. And again, we saw this last summer. Remember when we were studying the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no use against the indulgence of the flesh. Strivings and contentions and debates over minor points of the law and about how to apply it to your life, Paul says these things have an appearance of wisdom. They make you look on the outside more mature, but they do not help you to grow in Christ. The fact that Paul thinks of the law and the how-tos and the ordinance of men as milk and Christ as the meat is shown clearly in the context of our sermon text, doesn't it? Because here Paul says that he is giving them milk to drink, and what is it that he's giving them? He's giving them reprimands. He's saying, stop fighting. Stop being divided. You also see this when you compare this letter of 1 Corinthians, you take it and you compare it to Paul's other letters. Again, in 1 Corinthians he says, I'm giving you guys milk, and what does Corinthians look like compared to the other letters? 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 10, is reprimands, do's, don'ts. But the other epistles where Paul is talking to mature Christians, where Paul is giving meat instead of milk, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, it doesn't begin with the law. It begins with the grace of God, and he goes into great depth, especially Ephesians. We talked about Ephesians last week. We can think of that one again. He goes into great depth in the first three chapters of Ephesians, doesn't he, about how Christ planned our salvation from the beginning of the world, how he chose us before the foundation of the world, how he made us alive together in Christ, how he sent out the ministry of the gospel through his apostles. This is what Paul considers to be meat, growth in faith. As we heard in the children's sermon, Jesus himself says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Those who live in Christ, study his grace, study his works, those are the ones that grow up and mature in the faith. Consider even your own experiences when you talk to your children versus when you talk to mature adults. When you talk to children, you use a lot of rules. Eat your peas. Don't run into the highway. Don't point your bow and arrow at your brother, right? A lot of rules and regulations are for children, but when you are mature, and when your children are mature, you don't need to speak rules and regulations anymore. Instead, you talk to them, you discuss things, you dive deeply into whatever things you love, whether it be politics or sports or farming. This is what Paul is talking about here. Those who are mature in their faith dive deeply into Christ and what he's done for us. We need to get rid of this notion that the miracles, the parables, the stories of Christ's life and of the Old Testament patriarchs and all that Christ has done, we need to get rid of the notion that, well, those are Sunday school stories for kids. And recognize that there is deep truth there. There's stuff there for kids, no doubt. We could take, for example, the Sunday school story from a couple weeks ago. They had the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And as a child, you hear the feeding of the 5,000, you probably go away from it with the understanding, with the idea that, well, okay, Jesus can provide for me. He can give me food to eat. And that's very true, and that's a very good thing to learn from that story. But there is so much more there to learn. As adults, we can discuss and see the connection between Jesus and Moses, how Jesus, when he blesses the bread, purposely makes a connection and makes it clear to those listening that this is bread that came down from heaven in order to cement that connection to the manna in the wilderness. How he shows himself to be the new Moses, the greater Moses, proclaiming himself to be the Messiah. How he not only looks back to the time of the children of Israel in the wilderness with the feeding of the 5,000, but he also looks forward, prefiguring the Lord's Supper. That's just a few things. There's so much more there that we can dig into. This is why the season of Epiphany, the season of Epiphany ought to be one of our favorite seasons. I'm probably going to say that every season, but Epiphany is the season in which we do exactly this, which we dig into the works and the miracles and the parables and the teachings of Christ. In Advent, we prepare ourselves for his coming. In Lent, we confess and remember our sins. But in Epiphany, we grow. We grow in Christ, digging deeply into those miracles, those wonderful works of Christ, receiving the meat. And the milk, too. We're not above that. You know, that's what makes Wisconsin people some of the smartest people in the world, right? Because a lot of places in the world, people think milk is just for kids. You don't drink it after you grow up. I had that experience in Nepal. I asked for some milk and got these weird looks like, what, you're an adult? You still drink milk? We in Wisconsin know milk and cheese are still a good part of your diet, right? They're still necessary, but they're not the main course. And that's exactly the point here. We still need that milk. We still need that law because of our sinful flesh. We still need to be reminded of those things. But the way that we truly grow is in Christ. We do not ask first when we are faced with a text. We do not ask first, what does this teach me about my life? Instead, we ask first, what does this teach me about Christ? And we grow in Him. So growth is always into Christ. But Paul shows us in our text that growth is not only always into Christ, but it's always from God. So he makes that very clear in the second part of his text. I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gives the increase. We are fellow workers, Paul says, but we are workers for God. In our text it says God's fellow workers, but God's there is possessive. Paul's not saying I'm a fellow worker with God. He's saying I'm a fellow worker with Apollos for God. It is God's field. Growth does not come from the pastor. It can be a temptation to think that, we've talked about this before, but it can be a temptation to think that this type of pastor or that type of pastor is what's going to cause a congregation to grow. And indeed, certain types of pastors may indeed attract a larger crowd, may indeed cause the church to grow outwardly, but it's not the pastor who causes the church and the people to truly grow and to grow in Christ. It is God working through the pastor and the word which he brings. It is God who gives the increase. Therefore, everything we do without God is in vain. Everything we do with God is not in vain. With God, there will be growth. Without God, there will be no growth. He who plants, he who waters, doesn't matter. What matters is God gives the increase. And Paul leaves us with a promise, doesn't he? He leaves us with a wonderful promise. He says, you are God's field. You are God's building. Remember what Jesus said to the lazy servant in Matthew 25, 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. In other words, whatever Jesus does prospers. If he buys a field, if it's his field, it's going to grow. If it's his field, he's going to cultivate it. By calling you his field, he makes this promise that he will work in you to grow in faith and in love. God is not a lazy farmer that he lets his fields alone and lets weeds grow in them. He's not an incompetent farmer that what he does fails. He has the power and will cultivate and grow you who are his field. Therefore, the growth is into Christ, and the growth is from God. And I have this confidence for each and every one of us that what the Lord has planted in you and me, he will bring to fruition. And he will cause it to bud and bear fruit. And therefore, you have and are and will continue to grow in Christ until you come to the maturity of fruitfulness in him. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.